Amen, amen. Father God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for what you're doing in this house and in the people's lives. We thank you for the coming outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all of those that are desiring to have more, to see more, to hear more, to know you more, to execute the things that you have for them to do in their life in the spirit realm. Father God, we thank you that no person's going to leave here the same way that they walked in, but they will be transformed as they leave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where is Eric? Eric, do you have any announcements you want to make about anything before we get started here?
Okay, so December 20th is going to be our Christmas service, our first ever Christmas service. So we have a group, a team that are diligently and feverishly working to pull this together. One little logistical detail for the night, the Word of Life Church has their women's Christmas dinner here in this main sanctuary. So we are actually going to be meeting that evening next door in the other auditorium room. It's going to be an awesome night, so invite friends. We have one special dance, and we've got the kids are going to come and do a little part as well. We have, and probably most of you have read the email, but we have Frank Shelton Jr. coming on December 13th. He is affiliated with Billy Graham Ministries and Crusades. He is coming to give us an encouraging evangelistic message. Also a great night to bring people that don't know the Lord, actually. Great night to do that. And he is going to help us launch the My Hope Billy Graham campaign or crusade in our church and in this area. So we're excited about having him come. And for those of you that do come and are interested in being part of this evangelistic program, he's going to have some materials to give you that you will be able to take back and do your own evangelistic programs. Actually, that's the way it's designed. And let's see if I have anything else. I think that is it. We may have Karen Dunham. Some of you remember we did the drumming in the gates of Jerusalem here. She's going to be in the area in January. I'm hoping to get her to come in and visit with us. Pray about that.
All right. We are still, for those of us who desire to support it, we are still raising funds for Nicole and I's trip to South Africa. We're going the last week of January, first week of February. So all you have to do is in the memo field, remember all checks are made out to MVFF, but in the memo field you just put missions, and it's just going to go into the general missions fund. So next year we already have lined up possibly Karen that's coming out of Jerusalem. We have South American, right? Is it Chile? 10 years in Chile? Mike is coming, and there's a third. Who am I forgetting? Yeah, but that's not a missionary. So maybe Rod was the third person I was thinking of. Yeah. So anyway, the beginning of the year is already beginning to fill up with people from around the world who'd like to come speak with us, because Tennessee is a different part of the world, right? I mean, last time I checked, right? All right. This is the exciting and semi-sad conclusion. I'm excited to have them back. I'm bribing them. I'm trying to figure out how I can get them to come back more. But at least for the purposes of our Seer 1.0 class, this is our fifth class with our guest speakers, Steve and Marianne. And so I'm going to turn the floor over to them. Have you guys enjoyed the class so far? All right. So to show us our gratitude tonight, when Steve or Marianne asks you a question, we want to hear multiple people respond, okay? Because you guys are there, like, absorbing it all, and they're like, we asked them a question, and nobody read. So we're going to, we're not going to be the frozen chosen. We're going to get a little, Eric and I were at a classic Black Pentecostal service this morning, so I talked to Bishop Stevens. He's going to bring some of his people over, and we're going to work some of the white out of us, okay? We're going to learn how to have a little bit of church. Okay? we just want to rub off a little, okay? Just a little, okay? So Steve? Oh, no, we're gonna start praying Korean style too. Yeah, we'll get around to that, but yeah. So, but anyway. Steve, Marianne, who's coming up first? Alright, Steve. Alright, and then this is up here for you. Let's give a warm applause for Steve, Marianne.
How's that? Or as my daughter used to say when she wanted to know what something was, what's that? You all look great. Thank you. Okay. I want to pray, but first I was reminded of a vision that I had a while back. And in this vision, I was at work, and I had to drive into D.C. to take care of some business and meet with a contractor who was doing a commercial job. And amazingly, I arrived there early. Did I tell you all this before? No? Okay. Well, amazingly, I did arrive there early, which I almost never do, except I have here at every meeting, which is a miracle. So see, there are miracles. So I got there early and decided I was just going to sit and pray. And when I do that, I usually ask Jesus, so what's going on in this town? Because it's not my town. It's not where I live. And so I'm praying, and he gave me this vision of this older lady, black gal, had an apron on, and she was at her sink washing dishes. And I thought, well, that's awesome. And Jesus said, this gal is the intercessor for this community, and she is the one that keeps this community the way that it is. And so I had the opportunity to pray for her. And, you know, I've never met this person, though I would like to, so that she could intercede for us. I know it's selfish, but still, it's the right thing to do. But Jesus just kind of opened that up to me. And about a week later, I ended up back there again for another meeting with the same person. And this time when I prayed and I asked for him to show me what he was doing in the area, he did not show me this gal. And I wondered about that. And he was kind of teaching me at that time to not always have that same expectation of things being just like this. And the reason he was teaching me that is because he wants us to grow and go higher and, you know, allow our expectations to be high instead of what we're used to. And so, that's important because there has to be something in you that wants more, that is just not satisfied with wherever you are, even if it's just for that day, but to always be at him saying, I need more. I need more. And that's part of taking the kingdom of heaven by force. You know, it's about, you know, Jesus, I need more of your presence. Holy Spirit, I need for you to come. I need for you to show up. I need for you to work through me. And I'm not going to stop asking until it's done. And right about the time that takes place, I'm going to be asking for more. And that's his expectation of me, because I want to see his face. I want to walk with Jesus hand in hand, doing the things that I see him doing. If he is laying his hands on somebody, then that's what I want to be doing. And that really is one of the reasons why we started the Seer class, was so that people would want, we all want to see Jesus. And so the Seer class is really to get us to the point where we know that we can. Scripture says it. It's in the book, it's in the menu, and if it's in there, then we can do it. We may not know how to enter into that, but there is a way to find out, and how do we find out? We found out by knocking on the door. Yes, it's me again, Jesus. I need to know more. Yes, it's me again, Holy Spirit. I need you to show me more. I need you to work through me in a greater way. And as we do that, he honors that request because that's what he's wanting us to ask. And so if he can get us to ask the right question, then we deserve the answer, correct? If you can ask the question, you deserve the answer. And so that's why we, one of the reasons why we teach the CEO class is so that you will believe what this book says about you. It's what this book says about you. If you read it in the book, then there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to enter into it just like they did. Okay? If it's in the book, then it is a prescription for you to take and participate in with him. And that takes place by us, Jesus, yes, it's me again. It's me again knocking on the door. It's in the book. I want to be able to do it also. So, Jesus, we just appreciate your love for us and how you want to minister to us and how you want to minister through us. And so, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come now in a new way, that you would come with fire and in the glory of God, and that you would release it in this place. Father, that you would stir up a greater hunger in us, that we would be desperate, that you would release in us a desperation for you, Jesus, a desperation for the things that you want to do through us, that you would help us to not be limited by our own expectation, but that we would only be limited by your expectation of us. And there is no limit there. It is an expectation that draws us into a greater reality with you. And so, Father, when you talk about visions and trances and a deeper relationship and the fire of the Holy Spirit coming, then, God, we just ask for all of that. And so, Father, we just want to release you in a way in this meeting so that our expectations are taken higher and so that the rest that we seek is in the presence of Jesus, that the rest that we seek is the miraculous working through us where we are not laboring, but that the Holy Spirit is doing everything that he needs to do in order to bring the bride of Christ to perfection so that she can enter into her relationship with Jesus in a new and living way. So God, just right now, I just ask you to open up our hearts, that you would open up our eyes to see in a new way. More of you, Jesus, just come and just increase your presence. More of your presence, God, let it come. Let it come. Let your fire just increase. Let your fire just increase. More of you, God, come. Holy Spirit, just increase. More. Don't be satisfied. Take more of his presence. Let him go deeper. More. More of you, God, just increase. Just increase, Jesus. More of you. More of your presence, let it come. Let it come. More, God. More. Father, I just acknowledge the angelic that are in this room right now and that they have come with purpose. They have come with purpose to release and the kingdom of God in a new way, that they have come to do your bidding, God. And so we just say yes to their activity and to their purpose and to the fulfillment of why they were sent. We just say yes to that. We just say yes to your presence, God, to the angelic. Let it come. More of your presence, God. Let it come. Let it increase. Just take more of his presence. He's got plenty to go around. More, Jesus, just increase. Just increase, God. More. more of you, God, just increase. Father, I just ask you to release the prophetic in this room. More, God, just increase. Thank you, Jesus. So we just release the angelic now in a greater way. Let it come. Let it come. And we allow, because it is the example in the scriptures, for the angelic to speak. So, angels of God that are present right now, we just release you to speak to the people. Listen. Listen to what the angelic is saying to you. Increase. Ears be open to hear what the kingdom is saying. Ears be open to hear what the kingdom is saying. Eyes be open to see the kingdom as it is being released right now. More, God. Just increase. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, what did you all hear? Go ahead, James.
All right, this is what God was showing me. I've just been dealing with a lot of things. And you know how you see a picture with somebody outside and there's like a pie in the window and you're outside and you go, man, that smells good. Well, God goes, yeah, that smells good, but you can come in here. You don't need to be out there.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. I love how God speaks in visions. Anybody else?
So I saw actually three angels in a row. And they all, so the first thing that happened was is an angel came and handed me an envelope and it had a message on it. And then I saw another angel, but the third one was the one that I wanted to talk to you guys about. I saw an angel, an individual angel walk and stand in front of every person in the room. And they said that, and the angel that handed me the envelope said to me, there's one here for everyone. And I'm supposed to share that because if you didn't see anything, or you're feeling left out, or there's that thought that's going to your head that this isn't for me or it's not working. He wanted to, the Holy Spirit wanted to make sure you realize that that's not true. This is an exercise. You're supposed to press through. It may be difficult. I get that. But there's an angel with a message here for everyone. The question is, how are you receiving it? Are you allowing your imagination? Are you allowing your mind's eye? Are you allowing a sense to happen? Does that make sense? So mm-hmm. That's what I want to share.
That's great. That's great. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody? Okay.
I was just seeing a picture of the King's Chamber where there's a lot of activity going on. People entering in to see the king and other angels beside him being released with messages and things like that. So just a brief picture, you know, nothing over descriptive, but I know it was the king's chambers and it was busy with activity.
Okay. Okay, anyone else? Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I don't know how to explain this, but I felt a presence. And it was like a storm was coming, okay? And it was very gray, and then there was like a sheet. But it wasn't a sheet. I don't know what it was, but there was three-dimensional, okay? Mm-hmm. And I just felt the spirit just... I haven't felt it that way before.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it when God shows up. Today I was taking a shower, and all of a sudden, and you'll just have to, you'll understand this. I was taking a shower, and all of a sudden it felt crowded. You know, it just felt crowded in that, you know, it doesn't usually feel like that, but today I was taking a shower, and it just felt crowded in there. And I realized that I asked Jesus, well, what's going on? And I saw these two angels, and they had these urns, big urns, and they had picked them up, and they were pouring them on me. And one of them said wisdom, and the other one said mercy on it. And so I just said, okay, I received that. And then when I got done in the shower and, you know, dried off and got dressed and whatnot, and I was laying down in the... in bed, I saw those two angels continuing to just pour out wisdom and mercy. And so we'll find out more about that when I get a chance to ask him, because we were getting ready to come here. But that brings up a point. I'm trying to leave you with plenty of time. When you see visions and, you know, you think about them and then how after a while... it's like they're evaporating over time. You know what I mean? Usually, for me, the visions that are like that are the ones that I'm supposed to give to somebody. And I'm noticing that the time to give them is starting to leave. But when it's not that, when it really is a vision that God is speaking something to me or for something later on, if I start thinking about it, and the nuances of that vision, it starts to come back. And once it starts to come back, then I begin to ask him, well, what about this? And what about that? And pretty soon the thing starts to get bigger until I can understand really what it's all about. And, you know, I've had a number of visions, and really what's been important in all of them is that questioning. More so than the word itself. I mean, you can give the prophetic word and it can have an effect and it does what it's going to do because the word doesn't return back void. So when you speak the word, you know that your part in it's over. But the power of God is moving with that word to accomplish that end. It is important, but the thing that's important about it is the questioning. Because it is the questioning that causes you to draw closer to Jesus. I know I've said this 100 times, and that's just because of how important it is. That while we are seeking after to see how the kingdom is revealing itself through visions and dreams, the real essence of it all is knowing him. Because when you know him, it's like, how do you tell the difference between darkness and light? Do you do it by studying darkness? No, because that's where deception lies. But by studying Jesus, by studying the light, by being in the light, anything that is not that gets revealed. And that's what we want, is we want the nature of God to be so much a part of us that when it's not him, that's a call to action. That's God's call to action for you. It's like he doesn't reveal things that are not right so that we can say, okay, that's not right, and move on with our lives. I mean, that can be the case sometimes. But sometimes he's revealing those things because the word of God is in us and we can speak into those things and we can speak change so that God is revealed instead of the world. And so I know I'm talking a lot about the kingdom in that sense because we are used to experiencing the kingdom when we walk in that door. And that's not right. Because the kingdom is as much outside that door as it is inside it. Okay, so when we are, and we're in an interesting position because we participate in two worlds at the same time. We participate in this world that is dying and will be folded up and cast away. But we also participate in the kingdom, and that's why visions are so important, because we can see the kingdom now and participate in that. It is, after all, our home. And that is the place that we ultimately want to go to when we're free of this life. So, but that's why visions are important now, because visions for us are a deliverance for those that are captive in the world that God is drawing. And visions allow us to see that so that we can participate with that, with God in the drawing of them to Him. You know, God is awesome. Would you like to come up here and chat with these nice folks? I think I'm ready. Okay. I'm passing that out.
Sorry, transition. That was really good, Stephen, because you gave me the segue I wanted. There's a quote that I love from C.S. Lewis, and he said, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, then the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." Isn't that the case? And that's what Stephen was just illustrating. You know, talking about how we have visions and dreams, and it's from the reality of the kingdom of God that's our eternal place, our eternal home, that's overlapped with the kingdom of this world, which is temporal. And remember, we talked about how the things that are of this world are temporal. They have a beginning and an end. But the things of God in the unseen realm, those are the eternal things and the things that we want to pursue while we're here on the earth. We promised that we would talk about the menu this week. And Stephen has already alluded to the Bible as our menu. And our pastor used to say that this is the menu, it's not the meal. And the meat is in the street. And so that's how we're to live our lives, is we can have experiences with God and we can measure them against the menu, and then we can go out in the world and we can impact the world for the Lord in the way that He's impacting us as we relate to Him. And so honestly, this little handout that Stephen just gave you is called "This is the Menu: Examples of Dreams, Visions, and Spiritual Experiences in the Early Church." And it came out of, there was a conversation going on in a group of people that we were meeting with regularly, and it had to do with spiritual experiences and how some things are not, you know, some of the experiences that we were talking about, they were having questions about. And the big thing, I think we've talked about this in previous weeks, that you should never have a conversation with an angel. They'd been taught that by their pastor. And if you really ever did see an angel, you would fall down as dead, because that's the way it is in the scripture. And I kind of lost my cool. And I told my friend, "Look, the book of Zechariah is an entire conversation with an angel. What are you talking about?" And so I went home, and because these people, I love these people, we're still friends, just in case you're wondering. I thought, do we not know what's in this book? Good grief. And these are the same people who would tell you they want to live like the first century church. Well, if you want to live like the first century church, then here's the menu. And so I just kind of broke down Acts and started looking at what exactly was going on in that first century church. And then we can have a better conversation the next time we meet. I'm bringing my notes. So anyway, I'm going to share that with you. I left out the healing miracles and deliverances, because the focus of what I wanted to get after is the experiences that the people in the first church were having with the Lord. and with the interactions with the kingdom of God. So, of course, we'll start with Acts chapter 2. Tongues and fire appeared as they were filled with the Spirit, but there was no previous scriptural example except perhaps the opposite when the Tower of Babel fell and the languages were confused. So when we they had a spiritual experience, but they couldn't go back to the scripture and say, well, that never happened before, so it can't be of the Lord. But instead, they were told by Jesus that they would be filled, but they weren't told what it would look like. So they had an experience with God, but they believed what Jesus said that was recorded in Acts chapter 1. So there was a heart response. And the devout men said, this means something. They didn't say, this is a crock. We don't know. It's not in the scripture. But there were other people that mocked them, obviously, and they said, these guys are just a bunch of drunkards, and it's so early in the day, they must be drunkards all the time. So who's going to listen to them, right? So what happened was the devout men watched. They watched the people that had the tongues of fire on their head. They heard Peter preach in the street. They saw thousands of people come to the Lord, and they measured the experience by the fruit. And the fruit remained, and it multiplied. So when we have an experience with the Lord that's a little bit out of the box, we can say, gosh, Lord, what does this mean? Or is this pizza? I mean, you know, you can have a conversation with the Lord and ask him. That's why he gives you experiences with him, because he's fostering relationship with us. He wants to know us. He wants to know how we work. Not that he doesn't know, but he wants us to reveal ourselves to him, because as we do that, he reveals himself to us. And as we enter into a deeper relationship with the Lord, we realize the more we know, the more we don't know. And then that gives us an appetite for knowing more and wanting more and wanting to have more relationship with him. And then it drives us out into the marketplace, because the more relationship we have with him, the more we want others to have relationship with him as well. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2, right? In Acts chapter 5, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, spoke to them, telling them to go and preach life. Peter told the guards, we must obey God and not men. So an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, and the angel of the Lord spoke to them. And Peter's response was, the Lord has spoken, right? And so they took direction from an angel. In Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 7, Stephen, when filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. How many times have you been asked or been told from a pulpit that you can't see God because if you see God, you'll die? Right? Yeah, well, I can tell you... I can tell you, Peter and John, they were invited by, Peter, James, and John were invited to the Mountain of Transfiguration, right? Well, they saw Jesus in his glorified body. They were staring and peering and gazing on the Lord in his glory. And they didn't die. No. What happened? Peter came down and Jesus asked him later, well, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Messiah. He knew. So God reveals himself to us. You can be like Stephen and you can be filled with the Spirit. You can gaze into heaven. You can see the glory of God and you can see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. This is your DNA. This is who you were made to be. This is who you were created to be. This is who we are all created to be. This is our inheritance. This is the menu. How about Philip? He traveled on the road to Gaza, and went at the word of an angel. And then the Spirit told him to join the eunuch in his chariot, and he was translated. Who wouldn't want to be translated? I think that's on my menu. It's on my request. Right? But he took direction from an angel. He took the road to Gaza at the word of an angel. How about Saul? He saw a light from heaven and he was blinded and he heard a voice. Remember, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then Ananias heard the Lord speak to him in a vision concerning Saul. And the Lord said Saul had heard of Ananias in a vision. So we have visions going on. We have Cornelius. We talked about him. Cornelius, not even saved at this point. He saw in a vision an angel of God, and at the angel's direction, he went to go get Peter and talk to him. In the meantime, while the angel's appearing to Cornelius, Peter's over here at his friend's house up on the roof having a trance. How about that? He fell into a trance. He had a vision. He heard a voice from heaven telling him to go to Cornelius. Then he preached the gospel, and the Gentiles were speaking in tongues and filled with the Spirit. Well, where's the scriptural premise for that? How do we measure our experiences? We look at the scripture. We look at the Holy Spirit moving on people, and we look at the fruit, and we measure it. And we don't just take everything at face value and say, it must be the Lord. But we can stand back and we can judge it and we can look. I can guarantee you that if you have experience in the Lord that's unusual, if you ask the Lord, he will show you a scripture. He might even tell you that chapter verse and, you know, tell you to get on Bible Gateway right now. And he's going to show it to you. And he will, because Stephen and I have even been talking about things. Well, where, you know, gosh, I wonder about this thing. And then the next thing you know, in the next week, in our quiet time, we'll be reading and something will pop up and we'll say, oh my goodness, I've read this a million times and didn't realize that that's what the Lord was talking about. And he'll validate the experience, and then we can stand back and we can watch the fruit and we can measure it. And if there isn't fruit, or if the fruit isn't good, then we have to throw it out. It's not good, but it's important. How about, let's see, Acts chapter 11, Agabus, one of the prophets from Jerusalem, he foretold a famine in the reign of Claudius. So we can foretell the future, right? Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit came, that we would know the things that are to come. So if we have Holy Spirit living inside of us, then we can know the things that are to come. And here Agabus, he was a prophet from Jerusalem, he foretold the famine. And because of that, an offering was taken up at the word of the prophet. And that's an important thing too, because prophetic words, sometimes I think, because we live in a time when people are hearing more from the Lord, that prophetic words can be a dime a dozen. I mean, you can go and look on Elijah's list and you can read for hours all the different prophetic words that people have had. But, so that makes it hard in our culture, to value the things that are being said by the prophets. But when there's a stream of prophetic that's flowing, so say you do read Elijah list and you start seeing this thread that's flowing through, then you're finding like a vein of gold that's in a mine. And you've mined out that vein of gold that the Lord is working inside of you. So anyway, prophetic words obviously have value. That's in the menu. If you're following with me, there's Acts chapter 12, and we're going to come back and revisit this. Peter was in jail. An angel came to and woke him up and removed his chains and got him out. And Peter thought he was having a vision, but he realized it was real. Acts chapter 12, actually before that, Herod, he was struck by an angel of God, and he died because he didn't give God the glory. When the people were saying, you have the voice of a God and not one of a man, he didn't say, no, I'm a man. And so an angel struck him down. Pam and I are looking at each other. Acts chapter 13. While in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers fasting. They heard the Holy Spirit say, set aside Barnabas and Saul. And they followed Holy Spirit's leading, and they sent them away to minister. So we receive wisdom from Holy Spirit while we're fasting and while we're praying. It's part of the menu. It's part of the way we live our lives. Acts chapter 16. Paul was forbidden by Holy Spirit and by the Spirit of Jesus to speak the gospel in Asia and certain cities. And Paul had a vision in the night of a man from Macedonia calling him to come and help. Paul and Silas were worshiping while in prison, and there was an earthquake that released their chains and opened prison doors. So the Lord can use acts of nature to even release us from a prison or to change our circumstances. Acts 17, Paul's spirit was provoked, so he preached the gospel in the temple of the unknown God. Acts 18, Paul heard the Lord in a night vision. He was having a dream, and in the dream, the Lord told him to stay in Corinth. So he took direction from a dream from the Lord. Are your dreams any different than Paul's dreams? No. Even James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. We're no different than Elijah. Elijah, at that time, is considered to be one of the two greatest prophets, Moses and Elijah, the big two. So if James says, we are men with nature just like Elijah, what is he saying? He's saying we're like him. We're no different. So we can have prophetic dreams, and we can get direction from the Lord in our dream life. That's in the menu. In Acts 19, Paul laid hands on some Ephesians, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. How about that? We can impart gifts to others. In Acts 19, there's an evil spirit that got cast out. The seven sons of Sceva discovered an evil spirit who knew the name of Jesus, and Paul got cast out, right? Some disciples, in Acts 21, some disciples told Paul by the Spirit, don't go to Jerusalem. And the prophet Agabus prophesied his imprisonment in Jerusalem. But Paul was not persuaded to avoid Jerusalem. Why was that? Agabus was right. He was imprisoned in Jerusalem. But Paul knew what the destiny was, what his destiny in the Lord was. So Paul received the word from the prophet, but he went ahead and went to Jerusalem. But Paul knew he probably was going to be imprisoned. Acts 23, the Lord stood by Paul and spoke about Rome. How about that? So that's in our heritage. It's in our DNA. The Lord can stand by us, and he can tell us things about cities and about nations. In Acts 27, Paul tells the men on the ship that an angel told him there would be no loss of life, only the loss of a ship. So an angel can tell us things about what's going on around us. This is our heritage. And this is why it's so important to have relationship with the Lord and move in the things that he's doing around you. It's important that when we have a vision that we ask him questions, because he's the one ultimately who gave us the vision. So we're going to open to Acts chapter 12, and I just really want to pull out something that happened to Peter and point out a few things, because it has to do with the way that we live. So I'm going to start in verse 1, Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Now what I want to point out is, first, he was visited in prison by an angel. Why? Well, obviously he needed deliverance, but there was something really important that was happening. that Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. So when we intercede for people, we're releasing help. And that help might show up in the form of an earthquake that breaks chains. It could show up as a check in the mail that's unexpected for someone's finances. It might show up as an angel poking you and waking you up and getting you out of that situation. So then what happens is the angel, you know, wakes him up, pokes him, says, get up. He's like, huh, what? And in verse 9, this is what I really want to focus on. Acts chapter 12, verse 9. He went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. So what was his heart's response? I'm seeing this angel. He's telling me to do stuff. I think he's an angel of the Lord, so I'm just going to do it. So he puts on his shoes and his cloak, and he follows him right out of the prison. But while he's having this vision, he didn't know what was happening is real. How many times do we have a vision and we don't really respond? We have a vision and then we just sort of set it aside, or we might pray about it later. But instead, perhaps we're being called to act on those visions. So, you know, the next time you're in Starbucks or Chipotle or something, and the Lord's telling you something about this person and maybe even showing you something about this stranger, maybe it's time to open our mouths and just say, you know, God pointed you out to me. I'm a believer in Jesus, and I just want him to know that he sees your pain and he wants to touch your heart today. So how can I pray for you? Because I think your body's in pain and I think you could use some healing today. You never know. They might tell you you're crazy. That's okay. But they might most likely tell you that you're right. And they might meet God that day in a way they've never expected and maybe never have met him before. So Peter says he wasn't sure. Bless you. he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. But he believed enough in the vision he was having to put his shoes and his coat on and get the heck out of that prison, right? And then in verse 11, when he came to himself, frankly, I think he was in a semi-dream state. You know that stuff happens. And he says, now I know for sure, after he gotten out of the prison, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all what the Jewish people were expecting. I'm going to continue to read. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, you are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of prison. And he said, report these things to James and the brethren. So here's another interesting thing. We always laugh about Rhoda, you know, oh, Peter is here and she doesn't open the door. But the people who are praying fervently, probably the book learned people, are telling her that she's out of her mind. And they're the ones who are saying it's his angel. Well, where did that teaching come from? Wait, that's a teaching that's lost to the church, I have to say, because we must all have an angel. And that angel must kind of look like us, because that was their expectation. Have you thought about that? I mean, it's not something we want to make a doctrine on, but have you thought about that? Because it wasn't Rhoda who said it was, you know, Peter's angel. It was the people who were praying fervently. She was just the little servant girl running around. And then as Peter, you know, continued to knock and they opened the door, he motioned to him to be silent. And listen, he just had this huge encounter with an angel, but what does he say? He described to them how the Lord had led him out of prison. So when we're encountering angels, it's because they're coming from the throne of God. So when an angel comes and ministers to you or opens your eyes in some way, our worship is not of the angel, of course. It's of the Lord, the one who sent that angel to us. So we thank you, God, for angels and for what their role is in our lives. And Lord, we say to you that we allow you to send us angels and that we agree that we'll partner with them in the way that you intend. And we won't do anything that you do not intend. And I thank you, God, for the examples that we have in the scripture. The other thing that, there was one more thing I wanted to say about this. He said to report these things to James and John. And that's the power of the testimony. There's power released when we share the things that have happened to us within the Lord. And that's why we have this book, because we have the testimonies of the people in the first church, so that we would know what our heritage is. We would know the inheritance that it is of the saints, that it's okay to have experiences in God that are a little bit outside the norm. As long as we're having relationship with Him, we can measure it by the plumb line of the scripture, and we can see what the fruit is. God is so good to give us all these experiences with Him. That's the other thing I was going to say too. I kind of lost it out of sequence, but it's funny because when Rhoda answered the door and she went running back, they said, "Oh, you're out of your mind. It's just His angel." That's because they were praying, but I don't think their faith was that Peter was really going to get released, right? Isn't that how we all pray? And that's our heritage too, I hate to say. But our heritage is that God gives us something to pray until it's through. And so they weren't satisfied that it was through until Peter walked through the door. So I'm proud of that heritage as well, that even though they were praying and they weren't sure that it was really Him, they stopped praying when they saw that it was Him, and then they got to give the testimony to James. So that's actually where I was going to end. And Stephen thought that it would be a good idea that if any of you had questions, that since we've been here for a few weeks in a row, that we would just use those last few minutes to have answer questions, or it could be about anything. I don't know. We have a daughter. She's 15. That's why she doesn't come here with us. She's bored with her parents' things, but it's all cool. Do you have questions? No questions. Ooh. It's okay. You don't have to come up with one. Tim's like, "Think of one quick, Nicole." So if you don't, then I just feel like I don't want to leave without just blessing you with impartation. So if you just want to stand up, you know, yes. The bride of Christ, all the examples in scriptures of the earliest brides, from Rebecca to Ruth and to Esther, what they did is they anointed themselves. And granted, we impart gifts to each other too, but as the bride of Christ, we also anoint ourselves and make ourselves ready. And so I think how I'd like to do this, but we will be happy to lay hands on anyone who wants to do that as well. But for right now, I just want you to put your hand on your heart, and I'm just going to pray for you all now. Thank you, Lord, for this group of people whose hearts are turned toward you. They obviously have taken their lives and they've turned aside to look at you and to gaze upon your beauty in the land of the living. And so I bless them, Lord, that their hearts would be open, the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened, so that the revelation of your wisdom and your glory would be within them, residing in them. And I thank you, God, for eyes that see and ears that hear. I thank you, God, for a mouth that speaks and a mouth that tastes the goodness of the Lord and the power of the age to come. And I thank you, God, for the sense of smell, so that we can smell the sweetness of your fragrance, and that we indeed are your fragrance, the fragrance of Christ on the earth. And I thank you that you've anointed us, our noses even, to sense you and to sense the things that are around us. And Lord, I thank you for the inside knowing, the knowing place, that how we know you and how we know the things that you give us. And I thank you, God, that you've released in us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. So thank you, God, for increasing revelation in this church, in this body. Thank you, God, for releasing increased visions and dreams. Thank you, God, for increased hearing your voice. Thank you, God, for increased angelic encounters. Thank you, God, for increased experiences in you out in the marketplace. Thank you, God, for the treasure that is in this place. And I bless this treasure with the fruit that remains, with hearts that are turned towards you to seek after you for all of their days.
So I just want me to read this scripture to you. It says, Matthew chapter 7 says, "For everyone who keeps on asking receives." Did you get that? Everybody who keeps on asking receives. Who keeps knocking, the door will be open. Or what man is there of you, if a son asks for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give you good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? And I bring that up because the number one thing I hear in all my years of ministry when we talk about this stuff is basically fear. And it really isn't so much fear that it's not going to happen, although that's part of it. It's really fear that we're going to somehow miss it, that we're going to see a demon, or that we're going to, you know, imbibe something that's not from God. And that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says your God wants to give you experiences with Him, and that you need to trust that He will guard and protect that. And you can ask Him, "Lord, I want to see your angel that you sent to me tonight. And I want you to make sure that I know that it's you and it's from you." Because He will give us those confirmations and He will give us those assurances. So, Father God, in the name of the true Lord Jesus Christ, I just bind any spirit of fear, doubt, and hesitation that may be attempting to separate your people from your experience with you tonight. And I loose the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the peace that passes all understanding, that would mount a guard on the hearts and minds of every person. And so I believe that the Lord said there's an angel in this room tonight, having been sent to every individual human being. And they have a message for you. Mine handed me an envelope. He may do it different with you. But what I want you to do, this is your homework during worship, is I want you to press in. And I want you to keep on asking and keep on knocking. And in Jesus' name, don't leave here tonight without seeing the angel sent to you and knowing what that message is. Amen? Amen.